Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Sports Radio 610. Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, NFL Network's Ian Rapoport reporting now that Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor is believed to have suffered possible torn ligaments in his left wrist, according to sources. While he hasn't been ruled out officially for next week, tests are ongoing and puts his availability in doubt. Should open the door for rookie quarterback Davis Mills to start.
Well, I think Mills is better, and I think there's more value to him developing. So I guess that's a win-win either way. I think he gives you a better chance to win. And I think his developments, regardless of what his ceiling is, I think it benefits them much more than watching Tyrod Taylor. So Tyrod Taylor likely not going to play Sunday against Seattle. We'll have a Texans ticket Tuesday tomorrow, give you a chance to be out there. And we'll keep you updated on what's going on with the Texans right here on Sports Radio 610. Big weekend in college football this Saturday. And there's a lot of Texans fans talking about the savior, the potential savior. Who is going to get this heading in the right direction? Who's going to be the new face of the franchise? And when you're expected to be as bad as the Houston Texans, all eyes point to the quarterback. This year, there's not a quarterback at the top of the draft that seems like that guy that has franchise potential. Someone could emerge as that, but there doesn't seem to be that guy. But in 2023, there is a clear-cut favorite to maybe repeat as a Heisman Trophy winner and potentially be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and that is Bryce Young at the University of Oklahoma.
Alabama.
I say Oklahoma because I'm looking at this Brent Venables stuff. At the University of Alabama, Bryce Young. He's not coming here. Like, I just want to make that very, very clear. Bryce Young, if everything is the same here, is not coming to the Houston Texans. It's not. It's just not going to happen. You need to get that. You need to get that out of your head. It's not going to happen unless something changes significantly here. This was Bryce Young after his record-setting performance in the SEC championship, in which Alabama took the one seed of the college football playoff. They'll face Cincinnati. Michigan's going to face Georgia. This was Bryce Young after the game. Listen to what he had to say, and also take into account what people say about the Texans organization, the fact that Deshaun Watson has been willing to sit out this season because he wants nothing to do with him. Don't let the legal stuff blind you. Even if Deshaun Watson wanted to play for the Texans, he would have been on the field this year if he were eligible to do so. So don't let that blind you. But listen to Bryce Young after his record-setting performance and what he had to say.
Someone told me that's a blessing for sure for all the great quarterbacks that have played here. To have an accomplishment like that is definitely a blessing. But that's definitely it's going to go down and it's going to be written as it's something I did. But in reality, that's a reflection of the whole team. That's my O-line protecting for me. That's the receivers, making my job easy and getting open. Running backs helping in both in the pass and run game, and OB calling great plays.
All right, there you go. OB calling great plays. That's debatable. But the point I'm trying to make is I think even with all things considered, even if he were just the undisputed number one pick in the draft next year, I think there would be reason to wonder if he would be willing to come here. If an agent, let's say he signs with Mulugeta, as many guys do, if an agent would want to send him to the Texans organization with the chain of command that they currently have. I know I wouldn't. If I were Bryce Young's dad, I would pull Archie Manning and I would say, my son's not playing there.
Yeah.
Like, he's not playing there. So agent, do your work, make it clear. He's not playing for the Houston Texans. Same thing Deshaun Watson did before the legal stuff came down. I would do that. Then you take into account that one of his mentors and a guy that he has a close relationship is Bill O'Brien. I mean, everything, the writing is on the wall there.
Yeah.
He is not going to come here. Like, you talk about the Eli, you talk about the Elway. I would be willing to bet, and I offered Clint Sterner and Sean Pendergast this bet the other day. If the 2023 draft comes around and the Texans have the same chain of command, with Easterby being the culture guy, et cetera, this guy's not going to play for the Houston Texans. I would bet money on it. I could be wrong, but I would bet money on it. And if I were an agent, I think it would be incompetent to send him in this situation. And if I'm Bill O'Brien and I'm one of his advisors, you know damn well yeah. he's going to ask King Bill what it's like, what the organization is like, what the deal is there, and he's going to get that same spiel. And I'm willing to bet that O'Brien, Deshaun Watson, I'm sure there's some sort of connection to where Deshaun Watson's going to talk to Bryce Young as well, because Deshaun has that relationship with B.O.B. as well. The kid's not coming here. I would bet any amount of money on it.
I'm not going to call it an absolute like you, but I think the odds are heavy, heavy in that favor. You mentioned a couple of things. Here's another thing. Here's a guy that's going to win the Heisman Trophy this year and play again next year and maybe win another Heisman Trophy. Money's not going to be an issue. You know, college players like him make a lot of money. He might make more than anybody in the business of college football. So that's not going to be an issue. And then that network of people that are going to be telling him, you don't want any part of that. Leverage, who knows? Maybe the Texans can woo him and, convince him somehow. Look, I'm spitballing, man. Help me out. Just work with me here. try to woo him. But I think the odds are heavy in favor that he wouldn't. And here's the worst part. He may not be alone. I mean, coaches – it's a sewing circle, man. They all know each other. They all talk. I was talking with some people from the NFL this weekend on Sunday, and they were asking me questions like, "What's wrong? I've never seen an organization that you know." And then they're talking about some of the things they've heard and such. Yeah, I think the odds are heavy in that favor.
I just don't see it happening. Yeah. I truly don't.
Under the current regime.
Now, in my dream scenario, you say goodbye to Easterby. You try to get some progress in the process. Josh McDaniels stays in New England another year, and then you sign Josh McDaniels after the 2022 season. He runs the same system that they're running at Alabama with O'Brien. You bring in a smarter offensive mind to run it. You get Bryce Young, bada bing, bada boom, season ticket sales soar, all is right. But I just find it hard to believe that he would do that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's just go through the greatness that was college football on Saturday, because there was a lot of stuff going on. Starting at 11 o'clock, Big 12 championship. There were championship potential playoff implications here. Oklahoma State, had they won, they would have had a crack at finishing in that top four. But there was one problem. Their quarterback went Chris Sims. Big 12 championship, DFW. Remember Chris Sims, 2000?
I was there. Colorado?
I was there as well. Yeah. Sanders of Oklahoma State, 4 interceptions in the game. Oklahoma State was actually down 21-3. They cut it to 21-6 with 11 minutes left in the third. And Baylor's Dave Aranda made a huge mistake going for the ball on his own 40-yard line. It completely changed the game. Oklahoma State rallied, and they had a chance at the end of the game with 30 seconds left, fourth and goal, to take the lead. Not so fast, my friend.
If you score in all likelihood, and perhaps the CFP, Jackson trying to turn the corner, and he did not get there. Darren McFay raced him to the pylon and made sure he came up inches short.
So Baylor wins the Big 12 championship. Oklahoma State's college football playoff hopes dashed, and you have a thriller. By the way, Dave Aranda, 2-7 his first year at Baylor during the COVID season. Big 12 champs, the Baylor Bears.
How about his reaction on the goal line stand?
No reaction at all.
He just stood there with his arms crossed.
Stiffer than a wedding wee-wee.
That was one of the greatest plays that you'll ever see in college football.
No.
You want to know why guys
excitement
like the 40-yard dash? That play right there. He just chased him down despite not having the angle. got him out of there. One of the absolute best.
Yeah. And Baylor, congratulations to John McClain. Joins us tomorrow, presented by Horn Solutions. So then you have the 3 o'clock games, the two-piece combo, Georgia versus Alabama and Houston versus Cincinnati. Let's start with U of H versus Cincinnati. Now, this one was interesting because early on, it was just a complete back and forth. The team scored on their first 5 drives. But then Cincinnati misses a chip shot. It kind of slows down. 14-13 at half, but Cincinnati comes out and just makes a statement. 21 unanswered to start the second half. Cougs, 13 points on their first 3 possessions. 20 total for the game. Cincinnati wins 35-20. And their playoff hopes alive and well. It looked like at that point Cincinnati was going to be the 4 seed. Regardless of what happened in the next games.
It did. I think, you know, U of H, they were hanging in there. It was just a matter of depth and line play and just being that
talent.
That much better in the second half.
I think they have 6 of the top 100 in the Harris 100. John Harris already putting in that work. He took exception with you saying you didn't want to see Cincinnati in the playoffs.
I didn't say they wouldn't deserve it. I said I didn't want to see them.
Yeah, well, John Harris was mad at you.
Right.
Brought it up yesterday on Texans postgame. Yeah, so shout out to the loophole, John Harris. So 3 o'clock, Georgia versus Alabama. Georgia off to an early 10-0 lead. I looked over to my boy and I said, hey, what's the live line for Alabama right now? Georgia's up 10-0. What is the live line? 5-1 was the live line.
Did you?
Did not.
Ugh.
Did not. And I feel
stupid. By the way, I made a quick couple of hundred the other day.
Yes, you did. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I made the bet.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to take credit because it went down. Bama with 17 unanswered after being down 10-0. They turn it into a complete assing. They beat Georgia 41-24. Bryce Young sets all kinds of records. Nick Saban with 34 straight wins over the SEC East. And Nick Saban thanking the media types for making his team for the first time in a long time an underdog.
I think what these guys really wanted to sort of gain was more respect, not just the fact that they were underdogs, because I think we had a tremendous amount of respect for Georgia, their team, and what they accomplished. But you guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal, but the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
That was awesome. The very, very lighthearted, and he should have been.
Feel stupid?
Not right now.
I feel pretty stupid for sniffing out this Georgia thing.
No, you mentioned that yesterday.
Stupid, and it is hindsight. I just don't think they really played anyone like Alabama.
Who does?
Yeah, I know, but even if you look at their schedule, it was SEC East heavy. They whooped up on Arkansas, but Alabama they have the best player in college football in Anderson. I think Anderson's better than even the guys that we talk about, Hutchinson and Thibodeau. He's an absolute freak. And they have the best quarterback, and they have Nick Saban and all this talent. I kind of feel stupid. It could be the benefit of hindsight, but I just feel dumb.
I don't. I mean, Georgia's just mauling people with that defense. And that defense, as they say, wins championships. Alabama just flexed, man. They just flexed. Not on our watch.
Michigan all over Iowa, 42-3 in the nightcap, which meant that Michigan would be in the college football playoff. It would just be a matter of seeding, which came out yesterday. Alabama, the 1 seed versus the 4 seed Cincy in the Cotton. And then you got Georgia versus Michigan, Mike. Goodness, what a game in the Orange Bowl.
Georgia-Michigan is going to be a man's game, no question. I don't think Cincinnati has a real shot, if any, against Alabama. But this is for John Harris.
They absolutely earned it. Yeah,
yeah.
Everything played out. They deserve it. Mm-hmm. So I'm good for Cincinnati. I didn't want to see it, but they deserved it. No beef here. I think Michigan's going to get Georgia.
You do?
I'm buying in.
How much are they going to score, though, man? That's the thing.
27.
Will that get it done?
27. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the second best offense that Georgia's faced, right? Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It will be?
Yeah. Yeah. Not even close? Yeah.
Well, come on.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Not even close?
Who's even in the conversation?
I don't have their schedule in front of me. I'm trying to remember.
You don't need it. Take my word for it. Unless you think Arkansas is as good of an offense as Michigan.
No.
Yes. Take my word for it.
Yeah.
I got you. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. It was a fun time, but the moral of the story, Bryce Young ain't coming here unless you know who leaves. And my gosh, what a weekend of college pigskin. Coming up, the best players on the Houston Texans continue to get sent to timeouts. And one of the most disappointing players on the roster is trying to beef with one of the best players in the league. What in the hell is going on? You can't make this stuff up. Reaction Monday continues next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Zach Cunningham got put in timeout yesterday. Healthy scratch. One of the best run-stopping linebackers. You can say what you want about his coverage. Run-stopping, he's very, very good, but he was not on the field.
Well, good thing they weren't playing a good running back.
Apparently, he missed a COVID test, John.
That seems to be the story. A lot of people have John McClain, I think, was the first to actually ask about it in the press conference, but first to report it.
Okay. All right, whatever.
You better do better than that.
Fine.
You know, a lot of times we can sit here and say, boy, you know, this culture and, you know, taking it out on these guys that have a counter opinion. This wasn't a counter opinion to what they have. This was a mandatory thing. I actually don't have a problem with it.
Here's David Culley with John McClain. Joins us tomorrow, 10:35, presented by Horn Solutions. His best visit at Sports Radio 610. I'm pretty biased, but I would say that it is his best. Here is Culley and McClain talking about the latest Texan to get in that culture timeout.
What do you think about Cunningham missing his COVID test?
Well, again, John, we have standards and we got rules, and he wasn't there, so internally, you know, made the decision.
All right, there we go. So they internally made the decision. He's in timeout. Justin Reed was in timeout. Look, we've known that Zach Cunningham has had an issue with the organization for a while, goes back to preseason. They tried to trade him. That's what Texans Cap said, among other people. So Zach Cunningham, I was wondering why he was on the field in the first place the last couple of weeks, because he has that Jalen Smith guaranteed $9 million, $8 million, whatever it is, if he gets injured. So I think they'll try to trade him this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if he was all out released. He's another one of those guys who is just not buying into what they're selling out there at NRG. He's a guy who was here when it seemed to be very good and hope was at an all-time high, and he's not buying what they're selling, and he was a healthy scratch yesterday with the return of Christian Kirk.
As much as I agree with what the Texans did here, they, you know, because that was on him to get the COVID test, you're absolutely right, and I'm not even going to project it. I mean, he's not going to be a Texan. He doesn't fit. You know, that's a separate – what happened –
whether that's good or not, he just doesn't fit.
Right, yeah. What happened yesterday, I support what they did because it had to be – you know, that was on him, as I mentioned. But that doesn't take away – it's separate from Zach Cunningham is not a Texan guy. He's not this current culture guy fit, and neither is Justin Reed. The two of your best players – are going to be gone. There's no question about it. Zach Cunningham right now, in terms of players on the field, is the highest paid player. And you're going to have to cut bait with him because Deshaun Watson isn't playing and Laremy Tunsil isn't playing.
Has Laremy learned how to wear a cast yet?
And by the way, that was another thing in the old David Culley press conference, which we'll get back to here in a little bit. But Yeah, still not quite sure. Still not quite sure if old Laramie is going to be able to get learn how to
he's
work cast yet.
Again, right?
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's got a target on my back.
Nah, you're good. Just get paid, man. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at Laramie for doing what Laramie's doing. Quite honestly, I want to see Titus Howard continue to get some reps and see if he's got potential to be a left tackle of the future. No beef there. So the culture timeout, it's an eye roll for a lot of people, but it is what it is, and that's the situation that we're dealing with, and that's the card that we've been dealt, regardless of whether you agree with it or not. Something that it was really strange that was brought to my attention yesterday, and this was courtesy of Rivers McCown. Rivers McCown does a pretty good job archiving this squad at Rivers McCown on Twitter. Apparently, one of the most disappointing players of the 2021 season, a guy who had a great training camp and a great start to the season, Farrell Brown. Farrell Brown had some beef with Darius Leonard, the Colts linebacker. Here was the news of that beef during the broadcast, and I thought Farrell Brown's reaction yesterday on social media, I didn't understand what the hell he was talking about, and it was weird. Here was the broadcast talking about the beef between Darius Leonard and Farrell Brown.
Well, Greg, Darius Leonard told me that this was a game that he circled on his calendar specifically because of that previous meeting. He said Texans tight end Farrell Brown was a guy that was talking a lot of trash, and he made the distinction there's a right way and a wrong way to talk trash, and Brown was someone that he felt wasn't doing it the way that Darius would have approved of. So they've been talking about him all week. They came into this game saying they needed to bully the bully, and that's what they did with that fumble, that forced fumble on the last series.
All right, there's a couple things there, first of all.
You seem confused.
I'm very confused. And Farrell Brown replied on Twitter. I guess he follows Rivers McCown or something. He said, he sound like what Too Short was talking about in his most famous song. I asked my Jims and Juice guys, Figgy and Rocket, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He might be calling Darius Leonard a bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. Like, I don't know. But
does that add up, Figgy?
That's the first thing I thought of, but it might have been
because he
has
a song that talks about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of, the way he tweeted it, it made it more difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Why? Couple things. Why would Farrell Brown, going back to the last matchup, a game in which the Texans lost 31-3,
yeah,
what kind of trash would he possibly be talking to Darius Leonard? To where Darius Leonard, in the middle of a run, in which Indianapolis is trying to get right and make a run, why would Farrell Brown be talking trash? By the way, he had 2 catches for 8 yards.
I was just looking
Indianapolis.
Up the same thing.
2 catches for 8 yards in a 31-3 loss. Why would Farrell Brown be talking
numbers
so much trash
are hot
that Darius Leonard marked the calendar? And Farrell Brown doesn't need to be replying to one of the best linebackers in the NFL who's going to be up for Defensive Player of the Year following a game in which you lost a fumble and your team solidified losing to his squad 62-3 combined on the season. We talk about culture. We talk about right kind of guy, et cetera. To have one of the most disappointing guys this season, first of all, getting that reaction from Darius Leonard, and second of all, even paying it any mind, that bothers me more than Zach Cunningham missing a COVID.
Let me take it a step further for you. Let me take it a step further for you, and I think we have evidence that supports this opinion. I think Farrell Brown was talking trash, not, you know, representing the Houston Texans, but representing Farrell Brown. Because yesterday, and you were sitting right next to me, so I know you saw this, the Texans were losing, getting badly outplayed.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Had already turned the ball over twice, including one by Farrell Brown, were not doing anything on offense, finally get a first down with a completion to Farrell Brown. And what did you see him do?
I saw him do the Michael Irvin first down point on steroids.
No, he hopped sideways twice and then did a dramatic first down sign. When you're getting your ass kicked and you just turn the ball over.
Yes.
That's what Darius Leonard was upset about. I'd have to go back to that first game and see if he did a similar celebration, you know, when they were losing against the Texans. He was talking trash about himself. And that's a very selfish thing.
It's very goofy.
You know what I'm talking. He did like a little giddy up twice, you know.
But if you're calling Darius Leonard a B with the way that you've played this year, like,
Darius Leonard compared to your resume,
yeah,
come on.
I don't understand it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But it is what it is. Texans lose to the Colts by a combined 62-3.
That's not good
against the Colts.
Yeah,
it's not great.
I think. They pay me a lot of money to point that out.
Yeah.
Actually, not a lot. But
yeah. It's not great.
Numbers are hot.
Coming up, might not be great, but it was historic. We'll go into the numbers. We'll also talk about the weekend that was in college football, including the latest hire and a big bowl game coming to town, as well as the Rockets making some history of their own on the good side of things. The hits are lit next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. These are the hot stories of the day, brought to you by workformetro.org. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
It became official yesterday. Texans aren't going to the playoffs. The Chargers win over the Bengals solidified that there would be no playoff football for the Houston Texans.
Playoffs?
Yes, no playoffs. They are officially eliminated.
All right, well.
5 games left, by the way.
Scratch that off. First team officially eliminated or Lions?
Nah, I think they're the first team eliminated, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well.
No playoffs for the
Texans.
It
ain't great.
That's not great. Zach Cunningham, latest victim of the healthy scratch. This was David Culley talking about why Zach Cunningham was benched. Well, John McClain told him why. David Culley didn't refute McClain's claim.
What do you think about Cunningham missing his COVID test?
Well, again, John, we have standards and we got rules, and he wasn't there. So internally, you know, made the decision.
All right, internally made the decision. But what about Tyrod Taylor? We thought Tyrod Taylor was benched as well. He was cleared to play. He was able to play. The trainer said he could go out there. But David Culley kind of refuted that Tyrod Taylor was benched yesterday when he met with the media types.
Was Tyrod benched or was he not healthy enough to play?
No, I took him out of the game. I put Davis in when I knew his wrist was actually, he couldn't, they told me he couldn't really, wasn't sure he could grip the ball.
Left wrist. He said today that he was talking about the snap, etc. Yeah. But
even
again,
that,
he was cleared to play though.
I did a quick search this morning, just in the last couple of years, of quarterbacks who have played with left hand, wrist, or shoulder injuries, non-throwing hand, I should say. Drew Brees, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford, a couple of others that I can't remember, just in the last 2 years. So he could have played, a lot of quarterbacks have played with non-throwing hand injuries on their arm or wrist or hand. I was surprised. This was actually just because of performance. I wasn't surprised that it deserved to be pulled, but that he was pulled. You know, from the game.
The lack of organization, the frustration. There were a lot of things that happened in this game. Farrell Brown and A.J. Moore celebrating down so many points. Farrell Brown doing like an extreme Michael Irvin first down point after fumbling and Darius Leonard saying that Pharaoh Brown was next level disrespectful when he had this game marked on the calendar. But one of the most under the radar frustrating things to me was at the end of the third quarter with the Texans having the ball third and six, running the ball for 2 yards, and then having to look over to the sidelines, huddle up, and decide if they were going to go for it or not. Now, the X's and O's of that, I'm sure Clint will get into that this afternoon because I heard him talk about it with Sean yesterday. The play they ran, it made no sense for the coverage that the Colts ran. I'm sure Clint will get it more into that. But the fact that they did not have any idea that this was going to be four down territory and that they were going to go for it after the run, to me, is just the ultimate sign that this team just has no idea what they're doing. They're unorganized. The scheme is rough. The communication is rough. And David Culley still insists that there is no issue with the game plan. That's frustrating. But it's one thing for me to be frustrated. Here's what it sounded like when the Texans failed to convert on fourth down when Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware were on the call.
Fourth and five at the Colts 40. Here's the snap. Mills looking. Mills firing left side. An errant pass incomplete. Wanted Nico. Where was that going?
Where was that going? You hit.
By the way, David Culley said he made one bad throw. He said he looked at Davis Mills' tape, and he said he made one bad throw.
Yeah, well, he made.
The F were you watching?
He made more than one, and we're going to get into that for sure. But how about just lack of organization and basic high school level coaching? Was it Chris Conley that ran 80 yards away from Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, my God.
By the way, I'm not exaggerating.
No.
It was 80 yards.
I swear on my life. The Texans had the ball on their own 19-yard line.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor went back to pass. He got flushed out.
He got flushed like 10, 12 yards back.
I think it was
back.
7 minutes in the minutes left in the second quarter. You can go back and look at the tape. Chris Conley sprinted all the way to the end zone like he was running a damn gasser on conditioning day.
Yeah.
All the way to the end zone, he sprinted.
While Tyrod Taylor's going in the other direction.
Yes. Did he think Tyrod Taylor could throw the ball 90 yards?
Middle school players, no. Now, maybe he didn't see him. I'll give him benefit of the doubt a little bit. No. Your quarterback's in trouble. He's in scramble mode. Run back to the ball.
You would think you would look back at some point 80 yards down the field.
I'm 60 yards away. I wonder if I should do something about this. 80
yards.
80 yards away
from Tyrod
Taylor.
He ran 80 yards to the end zone.
Yeah.
That's one of their favorites.
Mm-hmm.
David Culley decided to praise Chris Conley as well for breaking up a pass that Mills threw.
How about when they were – before they're going for the fourth down late in the game, they run the ball on third down, which when it's third and I believe seven, something like that, gain two yards, maybe a yard. So it's fourth and six. I mean, you don't – first of all, you're running the ball down so much. Throw the ball. Secondly, fourth and six, you come up with that play. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just lack of organization, coaching, all of it. But it's not the coach's fault, apparently.
Yeah, David Culley says they're doing a full evaluation, but the game plan is fine.
And Tim Kelly is safe as the play caller.
I don't understand how you can sit there and hide behind, I got to look at the tape. But at your post-game press conference, David Culley can say it's not the game plan. Isn't that part of looking at the tape?
Yeah.
Well, we should have done this.
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly. I got to look at the tape. I got to look at the video, as David Culley says.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Not the game plan, Landry.
Surprising firing yesterday in the NFL. Joe Brady fired at Carolina less than 2 years on the job. Actually did a pretty good job last year without Christian McCaffrey. This year, I think he was expected to turn Sam Darnold into a franchise quarterback. He was unable to do that, and he was fired from Carolina. I wonder if with all these job openings, if Joe Brady was exploring other options and Matt Rhule just said, you know what? Peace out. You're not going to be here anyways after the season, so we're going to let you go.
I think that's a possibility. I think another possibility is he just wasn't the right fit for what they were doing, and Matt Rhule has somebody else in mind. If not that, maybe himself.
Hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. An in-season extension. Texans signed cornerback kick returner Tremon Smith to a one-year, $1.6 million extension. So the first in-season extension from Nick Caserio to Tremon Smith. I think that's a good job. Special teams, et cetera. I think he's done a good job, so well done.
Yeah.
He does other stuff unlike Andre Roberts. Andre Roberts never made sense. So you have a special teamer. You have a guy who does a lot of things. Tremont Smith, okay with that. College football Saturday. The college football playoff is set. Alabama versus Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl. Georgia versus Michigan in the Orange Bowl. What stuck out to you this weekend when it comes to the college pigskin?
Foremost, Baylor's defensive stops, red zone, all the plays that Oklahoma State had in the inside the 10-yard line and couldn't get touchdowns. But as far as the playoff, Alabama shouldn't be surprised. So I'm not necessarily surprised, but just sort of in awe of the fact that they took a great, great Georgia defense and just made it pedestrian.
My biggest takeaway from the early game, mm-hmm. is LSU sure that Brian Kelly, without any of his staff, is a better hire than Dave Aranda,
right?
Who's been at LSU. That was my number one takeaway there. And I think a lot of LSU people felt that as well and felt that way. Are you sure that Dave Aranda, who in his second year at Baylor won a Big 12 championship after going 2-7, are they sure that Brian Kelly was a better hire than Dave Aranda?
Yeah,
that's one takeaway.
I don't disagree with you. Brian Kelly, it's very telling that not a single one of his staff members decided to go with him to LSU. People talk about his personality style. He's kind of a jerk, you know, and done a lot of things. I don't think that really matters to LSU fans. What should matter is, did you get the right guy, and why are his assistants not coming along with him? That should matter, and he didn't.
Second biggest takeaway, the Alabama thing. Alabama in the 2023 draft, there's going to be a debate by somebody. Somebody's going to have a debate that's been had many a times. Julius Peppers or David Carr, Joe Burrow or Chase Young. It's going to be two guys from the same school. Will Anderson, the sophomore at Alabama. This year he had 15.5 sacks. I think he had 7 more TFLs than anyone in the country. Number 31, if you just watch college football and see the numbers. So Will Anderson, who John Harris says would be the number one pick in this year's draft, mm-hmm. and Bryce Young, who's going to win the Heisman this year, there's going to be a debate, but those guys are going number one and number two in the draft, I believe.
It should be a debate. Obviously, it's all going to depend on the quarterback situation at the top of the draft, but the guy's a monster, man. We saw it. I mean, probably his best game came at the biggest moment.
Will Anderson and Bryce Young, that was takeaway number two. I also think Michigan has a very good chance to beat Georgia. Maybe I'm overreacting to the last time I saw Georgia.
And they played Iowa.
I would probably take the 6.5 if I were Michigan. By the way, Iowa is just an absolute buzzkill.
Right.
They are the most boring football team that I ever have to watch. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, having to watch Iowa play football.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you.
From the uniforms, everything down, they are stiffer than a wedding wee-wee.
Okay. I'll go with that. I think Michigan, I thought they would be the best story. I mentioned this last week. People talking about Cincinnati. I think what Harbaugh's done, everything he overcame, the way they've played, I think it's one of the best stories in there. And I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan wins. I can't ignore the first 11, 12 weeks of that Georgia defense, though. And what they're able to do against good squads.
They also didn't need the game as much as Alabama. As silly as that sounds, because they did get off to the 10-0 lead, they didn't need the game as bad as Alabama because they were going to get in no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they wanted the game. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah.
They wanted the game. Other takeaway. This mm-hmm. has nothing to do with anything significant.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one of my irrational annoyances.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart having a coach that follows him around so he can grab his belt and hold him back is the worst bit in college football. And there are a lot of bad bits in college football. That is one of the dorkiest, meat-headed, irrational, entitled things I've ever heard. And that strength and conditioning coach who's in charge of grabbing his ass when he yells should be ashamed of himself. He should absolutely be ashamed at himself that he is following another grown-ass man around and grabbing his ass because he can't control how far he goes onto the field when he screams and yells. It's not like a one-time thing. This guy is literally walking with his hand like at the angle of Smart's ass. There's an article on it.
Ready to pounce.
Ready to grab his belt to hold him back.
Yeah.
That makes me dislike Kirby Smart significantly. That is a joke in so many ways.
Now, you might be going a little bit too much
It's
there,
a joke.
But
you're grabbing a man's ass.
Think about this guy's buddies, all his circle of friends. Like,
you're grabbing a dude's belt, bro.
Dude, you realize you're getting paid to do that?
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Control yourself.
And how about Kirby?
There's been.
That's what I say. How about Kirby? Just control yourself.
Give me a break.
Play within the confines.
It's actually important.
Of the rules.
Just grow up, yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Bob Stoops is probably one of the most angry SOBs I've ever seen on the sidelines. And all of his assistants seemed like they were screaming at the same time like a bunch of, like a pack of hyenas. And they didn't need some guy walking around grabbing their ass. So stupid. Give me a break, Kirby Smart. Michigan by 30.
Michigan by 30. I'll take that bet.
Yeah,
I'll take that
step
bet.
Step away from that. Oklahoma, speaking of Bob Stoops, they made a hire. Brent Venables, defensive coordinator of Clemson, is the next Oklahoma football coach. He was greeted by thousands at the airport. There appears to be a lot of excitement at Oklahoma. Venables served on Bob Stoops' staff before going to Clemson, where he was a defensive coordinator for the national champs two times there. You like this hire, J-Lo?
I do like this hire. I'm fascinated that you think it's a gift to the Longhorns.
I think it's a gift to the SEC.
And everybody who...
I think it's a gift to the SEC.
What about Brent Venables do you think screams he's not going to succeed as a head coach?
I think first of all, the fact that he's been an assistant for 20 years and no one's hired him. I think that should be telling. I think there are a lot of really good coordinators like the Will Muschamps, et cetera, that are just they're built to be coordinators. And I also think this is an overreaction of Oklahoma, and I think it's an insecure hire. I think Oklahoma had a boy wonder in Lincoln Riley, and I think they've convinced themselves because of how stuff went down that they needed to hire someone who had ties to their program. I keep hearing, oh, he has Oklahoma pride. He understands, you know, what Oklahoma's all about. They're going to hire an offensive coordinator who's an OU alum. It just seems like Oklahoma overreacted, and they decided that they just wanted to hire someone who had ties. Furthermore, it almost seems like that history is being rewritten, and this is good for the Aggies too, John. So you should be happy.
No,
about
no,
this, I think
I would love to be on your side on this.
But this is the other thing.
But
that
I'm
I
not.
Heard. Tell me this is not ridiculous. And I think we'll see him Friday at the Army Navy game. Figgy and I are going to the Big Apple for the Army Navy game. I saw Dusty Dvorak, who I think is one of the best minds in college football. I think he does a good job covering college football. He played for the Oklahoma Sooners. He played for Stoops. He played for Venables. I saw Dusty Dvorak on the ESPN studio show say, Brent Venables is going to bring back the edge to Oklahoma. When the hell was anyone saying they needed an edge? I know they had a down year this year with a true freshman quarterback, but my God, I thought Lincoln Riley was doing a pretty damn good job. So all of a sudden you need someone with Oklahoma ties who no one's hired in two decades as an assistant, and Oklahoma needed some sort of edge. It seems like they kind of got a little bit humbled and they're overreacting.
I think you're overreacting.
What would your reaction have been if they'd have hired Lane Kiffin?
Over the top.
That would scare you, right?
Yeah,
what absolutely. About Matt Campbell?
Close. So, but still scared.
I don't think they made the best possible hire.
Here's the thing, and this is where I think you're wrong.
I think he's stiff,
this,
too.
This is where, well, look, I'm not saying that the Oklahoma Sooners haven't had an edge, but they, you have to admit that they are a finesse offense, and that and Lincoln Riley, that he doesn't exactly exude edge, just as a head coach. More of a cerebral guy.
I mean, they can run the rock.
No, I'm not saying they're not physical.
I mean, they're young this year.
I'm not saying they're not physical and they haven't kicked a lot of people's butts. What I'm saying is I could see where Brent Venables is a step up in terms of reputation and edge from what Lincoln Riley exudes.
Okay.
And right?
And Will Muschamp was a step up in edge.
Here's the difference between Will Muschamp and Brent Venables.
Okay.
Brent Venables has been offered, off the top of my
Who?
Head, Auburn offered him. The head coaching job, reportedly. This is all reportedly.
Okay.
We know that. I think Auburn offered him. LSU kicked the tires a few years ago.
Kicked the tires.
Again, maybe they offered him. This is all being reported. And, oh, by the way, Brent Venables was the
second highest. Yeah,
paid.
He was highest. Yeah.
This year, he was the highest paid assistant coach in college football.
$1.7 million.
$2.5 million.
Yeah, it
this year was 2.5, and he's consistently been money whipped into staying at Clemson. Which another, oh by the way, they've been in the national title chase consistently for the last 5-6 years. So I would be, as an Aggie who's going to be facing Oklahoma in the SEC.
You should be happy as hell.
I'm scared. Maybe not as much as Lane Kiffin, but I would be.
They didn't take my offer. Scared. I offered to send a limo for him when he got to the airport. No, they didn't want my offer. I looked up the Norman limo service and everything. It was going to cost me $450 to get a limo, and I was going to send a limo for Brent Venables. I swear to God I would have. Mm-hmm. By the way, Red River Shootout next year, I think they stay downtown. Let me know. I'll get him a party bus. Get him in some bubble wrap so his ass is on the sidelines. Rockets, man. Rockets are making
history.
What
have they lost, 21 in a row now?
They won six straight.
Oh, that's right. After 15, they won six straight.
First team in NBA, NHL, MLB, and NFL history to win six straight games after losing 15. How about that? Texans making history. Rockets making history. Good history, bad history.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see on the Rockets, but that is quite the turnaround.
Good for Steven Silas.
Yeah, quite the turnaround.
He deserves something good to happen to him.
Asking for his head just a few weeks ago.
Those are the hits here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. David Culley, something needs to be discussed about the head coach of the Houston Texans, plus an opportunity for Cal McNair. Cal, you don't get very many opportunities like this. Sometimes you only get one shot, but you got two. Take advantage next.
He is very smart.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.